Okay, so I'm going to set a little picture for you. Gong, gong, engine 4, rescue 4, district 4, squad 101, ladder 1, structure fire, 201 Osborne Street. This is like GayTech Channel 4. It's all like, this gets my heart racing at work. If you don't know, I'm a firefighter. And when we hear this over the PA in the fire hall, this is like, all right, it's go time. Kind of what we get our, all the training, it comes into play right here, structure fire. So there's two trucks at the hall that I work at, so there's a rescue and an engine. And a few weeks ago, I was on the engine. And so we were first into this structure fire. We came out of the truck and you couldn't see anything. There's reports of a structure fire, so you're like, okay, what's going on here? But then, smells like structure fire. There's a difference between, and you'll know, like, it smells like garbage, okay, so it's probably a bin in the back, you know, garbage bin in the back. Nope, it's maybe something along the river. Nope, this was something different. This was structure fire. This fire was a little more rooted, and which means that maybe there's a bit more work for us to do here. Sure enough, our captain goes to the top floor, empty, hallways empty, no smoke, nothing, opens the door to the suite that it comes in as. Floor to ceiling, black smoke, I guess floor to ceiling, black smoke, and we got something on our hands here. So, hook up the hydrant, the rescue is behind us, they come in with their crew of 4, and they go in, they put up the fire, it's a good stop, but they also found someone. Now, this person is not breathing, so this is like, in a fire, black smoke, not breathing, this kind of makes sense, you know. Anyways, I'm at the top of the stairs. I help my crew. I don't get the glory of carrying the person down, but I help my crew down the stairs. And we do the fire, and we get back to the hall, clean up all the hoses, and then we get reports that this person was in stable condition at HSC. So, like, this is a big deal for us. So, I work with a really good crew, and so it's a little bit of a humble brag, because it's really just to mention the word fire. This is... You know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and there's a fire kind of involved with the Holy Spirit. So, that was one humble brag. Humble brag two. This is from a couple weeks ago. Amy and I took the kids to the Hive. That's my kids climbing a wall. Now, this picture, and we can stay here for a second, it's like, oh, they're like 8 feet up, but the next picture would suggest otherwise. Callie's like 16 feet up in the air, and there's no harnesses. There's just a crash pad, they call it. I think for good reason, you can just crash down. My brother-in-law's friend, she broke her ankle at the Hive. So like, you can get hurt here. I was ecstatic the whole time. My kids are learning a new skill. They're overcoming an obstacle that they've never seen before, other than like our own playground, which is like 6 feet high, which is probably enough for Amy. But Amy was in a very different spot emotionally. We're never coming back here. It was just like, because I said, oh, if the kids are going to fall from that height, just make sure their head doesn't hit the ground. And, well, how do you do that? Like, there's just no way of actually, like, so Amy would have much preferred, and she might win. Next time we go climbing, we'll go to like a climbing wall where you wear a harness and you're tethered to the wall. And so like if the kids fall, the worst they could do is fall a foot and then slam against the wall. The difference between moms and dads. So I mention that because tether. See, these stories, although humble brags, because I am very proud of my kids, and I'm very proud of the crew that I'm on. These things can remind us of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which means that it's a day that we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming upon us like a fire, an all-consuming fire. Now, we've seen it before in Genesis. It's let us make man in our image. Us, the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Person, this individual has been there from the beginning. In Acts, it mentions tongues of fire. Where else have we seen this fire image and the Holy Spirit? Well, Moses in the burning bush, there was a fire, that was God's presence. We see it later in the Israelites in the wilderness at Sinai, this column of fire. Following that is the tabernacle, and then it's the temple, us. It's always been God's presence, where heaven and earth meet. The Holy Spirit connects us. He acts as a lifeline, a tether to God. This gets my heart racing a little bit here. Like a good structure fire, you know? I'm sure you all say, yeah, fire. We're seeing my kids overcome new obstacles, new challenges. And one of the coolest things is we all have access to this fire. I have access to this fire. I have access to the Holy Spirit. So, how did Pentecost all go down? Piggybacking again off of Pastor Tim from a couple weeks ago, he spoke from Acts 1 verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive the Holy Spirit." Continuing, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Wow. Those witnessing the events weren't quite sure what was going on, and they actually accused, even after hearing the miracle of, you know, the gospel being spoken in their own language, they said, "Oh, they're just drunk." And Peter's like, he couldn't, he's just twitching. Drunk. It's 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. With work, I get the structured fire, but I also get to deal with intoxicated people once in a while. And you don't speak cohesively when you're drunk. Nothing wonderful comes out of a drunk mouth. It was impossible. Peter was trying to, like, it's not that. Something else is occurring here. He continues, Peter, in Acts 2, verse 16. "No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Continuing in verse 38 and 39, it says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter explains how to receive it. It's believe, be baptized, repent. You will receive the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. This is an encouragement to me. It continues with verse 39 here, yes. This promise, and I think of my kids, Mason, Kelly, and Seth, my wife, my family, you here, my friend, acquaintance, everyone. This promise in 39 is to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. I reiterate because we have access, and I want you to know that if you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Slight transition. Thank you.
Put on the harness and be connected to God. The lifeline, unlike in
Regis Philbin's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where you get three lifelines and you're done, we have continual access. But the other continual thing is it's a process. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just, okay, so we've repented, we believe in Jesus, we're baptized in the name of the Lord our God. It's be filled continually. It's a daily, hourly, minutely, every second, be filled. It's a process. I could meet someone on the street. Hi, my name's Todd, nice to meet you. And I go on my day, I've met that person, but it's not a very valuable relationship for me. It's quite invaluable. It's maybe an acquaintance. I'm acquaintance with Adam Lowry, if that's the case. I said hi, I shook his hand. But that's, we're not friends. We don't have a relationship. Likewise, be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. We need to spend time with God, and we have His presence, the Holy Spirit, to help us with that. We need to spend time and effort with God, His presence, the Holy Spirit, for this to be valuable. Next, it's purity. We go into the fire, my favorite part of fighting a fire. Not watching from the outside, but getting in there. The Holy Spirit, unlike the fires that I usually see, refines. It's not destructive. It purifies. It gives us power. Billy Graham said, the Holy Spirit convicts so that we are more holy than yesterday. And in this, there is freedom. John 16, verse 8. Jesus continues, so after he says that I must go, so the advocate must come, he continues with verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. It's kind of heavy. It's not meant to be guilt, though. It's meant to be a call to grow and mature in our faith. As mentioned earlier, God's presence in us it's us, the temple. He calls us to be pure, and it's a whole slew of sins and temptations that we face. But for me, the biggest call to purity has specifically been sexual purity. And I'm going to continue sharing a little bit about my struggle with that. Not into too many details. But I will talk a little bit. But first, 2 Corinthians, a lot of scripture today. I don't have a lot to say on the subject, and I want the word to speak. So if you're not keeping up, you can always come. What was that reference? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18. For the Lord is the Spirit. This is kind of continuing on what Billy Graham is talking about. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. We are the temple of the Lord. If we want Him to dwell within us, there's probably some spring cleaning that might need to happen. I say that to myself. My battle with sexual temptation and sexual sin nearly ruined some relationships, some very important relationships in my life. Not because they were right in the fire, but because smoke also damages things. They were caught up in that smoke and the aftermath. I selfishly desired to be fulfilled by something that provides zero satisfaction. This sin is different than many sins because it's something down to the soul. It's a personal sin. It hurts people. If you are struggling in this type of sin, you are not alone. I met with someone just over a year ago, and they'd never shared their story about their sexual desires and things like of that nature. And I was the first person that they had shared this with, and he honestly thought that he was the only person in the world. He kind of had this head knowledge, oh yeah, like other guys struggle with this stuff. But he never actually really believed it. And so I want to encourage you, if you are struggling in this specific sin, you are not alone. If you are currently struggling with sexual sin and have been for quite some time, you can find freedom. I don't want to leave you hanging though. If this describes you, I want to help. I want to be there for you, with you. I would love to work with you, whether it's me or partnering with someone else like Pastor Tim. We would love to walk with you in this healing journey that I know is possible. I'm not perfect, but since finding freedom from this bondage, I've grown passionate about purity and the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1 verse 9 to 10, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. There are so many times in the Bible where it talks of being pure before the Lord on the day that he comes. And it's a very serious thing. So my encouragement is that if you need help, find it. Do not wait another day. The Spirit lives in us. He grieves our sin, and through his power, we can overcome sin. We can be pure and blameless before the Lord. This power that we have access to conquered death. This power we have access to created the whole world by simply speaking. This power is living inside of us. This power that overcomes sin, conquers death, created the world, is our lifeline. Without it, we are at the side of a wall, stuck. Can't go up. Can't go down safely. Again, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 to 18. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And this takes me into passion. We are changed into his glorious image. We become more and more like him. What do you think of when I say, like, oh, someone's passionate for Jesus, or someone's on fire, if we're going to continue with that theme? What are some of the things that you think of? And this is we're going to give and take here. But if someone's on fire for Jesus, or if they're passionate about following Jesus, what are some things you think of? How might you describe them?
They're excited.
They're excited. They can't have a conversation without bubbling over with joy. Or just sharing, do you know what God did for me? Right? His testimony there. What else? Peace. Totally. My yoke. Burden. Easy. Light. There are certain rhythms of life they might follow. They might spend time in solitude. You might hear them talking about, oh, when I was reading the Bible this morning, when I was talking to Jesus, when I was praying. You might hear these things come out of their mouths. Fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? So, Galatians 5. Pastor Tim had it memorized the other day, and I probably do, but just for make sure. Get the right translation. Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. If someone is on fire for Jesus, they're passionate, you see these things coming up in their lives. John Mark Comer In his book, Practicing the Way, outlines 9 practices or disciplines or rhythms of someone who is marked by the Spirit. I'll read out the list. I'm going to go into some more detail yet, but consider which of these disciplines you might practice or that you'd like to practice. Sabbath, solitude, prayer, fasting, reading scripture, being in community, generosity, service, and witness. Now, honestly, that's a tall list. I'm going to go over that list again, but with some Bible verses kind of attached to encourage you in your faith and just bathe you in more of God's Word. So first, Sabbath. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Solitude. Jesus recharged with his disciples in Mark 6. After they've been sent, it's time for some work. They came back, and now it's time to recharge. Be quiet before the Lord. Mark 6:32, it says, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Not alone by themselves, but alone with Jesus. Prayer. Mark 1, we see Jesus getting up early to go off by himself to pray to God, his Father. The disciples were like, hey, Jesus, we've been looking for you. Where are you? Everyone's waiting. But Jesus knew he had to speak with God, to commune with him. It's a relationship. Fasting. In Matthew 4, Jesus goes out to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Being the Son of God, he still needed to sacrifice his human needs to be filled with God. There's actually a few of us here currently doing a fast from non-Christian media for 4 weeks. And it's been really refreshing. A couple of the young adults are doing it. Actually, I jumped on to their train. It's been really, really good to fast from a human need or desire or want as to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with Jesus. Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It guides us. The scripture sustains us. 2 Timothy continues in 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Next, there's community. Paul discusses community in Romans 1, verses 10 to 12. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Paul yearned for community, to be with his family in Christ. With my work, or I miss church. Not just miss church, physically, I miss church. The Rosemont Community Church is a good family. And I miss you guys when I'm not here. I'm always encouraged. Mary isn't here today, but Mary always encourages me. And I want to say thank you, but so she's watching online. Thank you, Mary, for encouraging me. Always. Paul yearned for community, to be with his family, united by the Holy Spirit. Next is generosity. Generosity is measured by the size of the sacrifice, not the gift. Jesus says in Matthew 10, give as freely as you have received. It's not an obligation, it's an act of worship. Thank you, God, for all that you've given to me, I must give back. Next is service. We're almost done the list here. We'll let Jesus again be our example of service. Shortly before he was handed over to be crucified, in John 13, he washes his disciples' feet. Now, this is a lowly job. It's kind of for the servants. But Jesus was not below service. He served. Finally, we end with witness, and Jesus commands it. Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's not just something we don't get a buy on this. And it's scary. It can be scary. But we don't just get a buy. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. What a list of things we ought to be doing. I don't offer this as guilt or shame, but when broken down piece by piece, we can find things to work on. It's a step forward. We can also work on things like the fruit of the Spirit. We can pray into these things to help us grow in different areas of our walk with Jesus. Amy would passionately argue that kids need tethers to be safe. John Mark Comer would passionately outline that a fired up life for Jesus would include the above nine things. Paul would passionately express in Galatians that freedom in Christ would be marked by the fruits of the Spirit, igniting his work in our life. Following the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 24 and 25, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Be encouraged. Jesus did not leave us to work on the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus did not leave us to maybe develop some rhythms or drill some rhythms in our life all by ourselves. He didn't just forget about us. He gave us the lifeline of the Holy Spirit. We are tethered. It's an abiding branch and vine sort of thing. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives, and I'm positive we have all felt him. The Holy Spirit is a refining fire in our lives. Fire hurts, but it is so good, it purifies. And finally, the Holy Spirit produces passion within us. We can follow the Jesus way, as Comer described in his book. We can live by the Spirit and have the fruit grow and mature in our lives. Kind of in that application portion here. This week I encourage you to do a few things. First, I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into every single day. It's a 5-second prayer, but it's our heart acknowledging that we want the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. He's there. We believe in Jesus. Next, I encourage you to consider in your life what needs the Holy Spirit refining fire. Guys, if this means a text to me or Pastor Tim, tell someone you're struggling. You're not alone. The Lord wants a holy temple to reside in. Finally, pray through the fruit of the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to emphasize one fruit to grow in this week. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you that we can be affected by the Holy Spirit. And Father, it's your presence where heaven meets earth, and we have access to this. And that just gets me really excited. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grow in us the fruit of the Spirit. Father, that we would develop rhythms that allow your Spirit to actually work in our lives. We're so, so busy. So much hustle, but when we slow down, we allow for you to kind of step in and do what you want to do. So Father, I pray that we would acknowledge your presence, and we would see that you are good, and that life in the Spirit is good.